الميامين من آله وسلما تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الفاتحة يرحمكم الله.
محمد وآل محمد صلوات.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. First would like to wish all of you خوشالي مبارك and عيد مبارك on this auspicious occasion. At every occasion of Eid, we obviously remember the Imam of our time, and we wish that our Imam was with us so that we could celebrate with him. So let us today remember him and pray for him, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him good health and protection. Join me in praying for him. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyyikal حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. The Eid of Mubahala gives us an excuse for us to talk about the relationship between the Muslim community and the Ahlul Kitab. And the Ahlul Kitab are a group of people who have been defined in the Quran as those who are Christians and those who are Jews and those who are Sabians. And the Quran gives them special consideration in Islamic law. Now the Christians are also included in the Ahlul Kitab, even though they believe in the Trinity. This is because even if you were to speak to a Christian today, he would tell you very clearly that I do believe in monotheism, and I am a monotheist, even though I believe in the Trinity at the same time. Therefore, they have been included in the Ahlul Kitab. It is interesting when we look at the relationship in history and today between the Muslims and the people of the book. Generally, if you were to look at the relationship that we have had in history, some people may think that Muslims and people of the book are not able to have an amicable relationship or an alliance together or a relationship where they support each other's rights. Because when you think about our relationship with the Ahlul Kitab, you may think of certain incidents in history. Incidents like the Battle of Khaybar or the Battle of Khandaq. Or you may think of the Crusades that lasted for centuries where Muslims and Christians were fighting for a particular piece of land. Or you, if you just look at the 20th century, when you look at the issue of Palestine, again, it's an issue that sometimes divides the Muslim community and the Jewish community. And therefore, you may think that Muslims and people of the book are not able to have a supportive alliance or a constructive alliance amongst themselves. So I want to look at that issue today. And I want to look at it from three perspectives. Firstly, I want to look at it from the Quran. What are those principles that the Quran gives us on how the Muslim community should interact with the Jewish or Christian community? Secondly, from the seerah of the Holy Prophet, what did the Prophet of Allah do during his lifetime when he was part of the Muslim community and he had to deal with the Ahlul Kitab? And thirdly, what sort of an impact did that leave on the Muslim community that came after the Prophet of Allah, and how did they interact with the Ahlul Kitab? So we'll look at these three dimensions if you first recite the Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. When you look at the verses of the Quran, on this issue, the verses of the Quran seem to be contradictory. There are two sets of verses. There are verses that reprimand the Ahlul Kitab and use strong expressions against the Ahlul Kitab. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 98, He says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لِمَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. O people of the book, why do you disbelieve in the signs and the arguments of God, whereas you know that God is witness over what you do? And there are many verses which are like that. But on the other hand, you also find conciliatory verses, verses which praise some members of the Ahlul Kitab, verses which are welcoming towards the Ahlul Kitab. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Surely those who believe, and those who are Jewish, and those who are Christians, and those who are Sabians, amongst them, those who believe and perform good deeds, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Their reward is with their Lord, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There is no fear that is going to come to them. There is nothing that they have to fear about, and there is nothing that they have to grieve about. Why do we have these seemingly contradictory verses? Some of the non-Muslim historians have suggested that the reason we have these contradictory verses is because during the early days of Islam, when the Prophet first came to Medina and he had to deal with the Jewish community or other communities, was weak at that time. It needed allies. It needed supporters. So it took a very conciliatory approach towards those tribes which were Jewish and that were from the Ahlul Kitab. But as the Muslim community grew in strength and their numbers grew and more tribes became part of the Muslim Ummah, the Muslims realized now they don't need these other tribes. Therefore you find at that time they would say that the approach of the Quran became a more aggressive approach towards them. In fact, I remember I was once speaking to a pastor, and one of the questions that he asked me, trying to direct me towards a particular point, is to say, therefore, as Muslims, do you believe that in the early days of Islam, because you were weak in number, that you had a conciliatory approach with the people of the book, but in the latter days of the Prophet's life, when you became stronger, then the Quran took an aggressive approach towards the people of the book? Obviously, this is not correct. In the rationale of the Quran never generalizes a group of people. The Quran says in one group of people who belong to the same faith, you will find those people who are good and those who are not good. The same group of people in one period of time may have good characteristics. In another period of time, they may not have good characteristics. In one period of time, they may be welcoming towards Muslims and may be willing to listen to the truth. In another period of time, they may have animosity towards Muslims and they may not be willing to listen to the truth. And therefore, the approach that a Muslim is going to take towards that community is going to vary. So it's interesting, therefore, that sometimes in one verse of the Quran both praises and at the same time reprimands people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful verse of the Quran, He says, لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ آلِ عِمْرَانِ verse 113. They are not the same. Not all people of the book are in the same category. We have just told you about those who have turned away from the truth in the previous verse to this. Now let us tell you about those who are true believers. لَيْسُوا سَوَى مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ from the people of the book. أُمَّةٌ there is a nation, not just few individuals. There is a nation. قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ they are standing awake in the middle of the night. They recite the verses of God, أَنَا أَلَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ in the middle of the night, and they also engage in sujood. And the Quran continues to praise them as well at the same time. Therefore you find, during the early days of Islam, the Prophet of Allah, and we'll talk about it today, made a pact with some of the Jewish tribes. And as long as they kept their end of the agreement, the Prophet of Allah also kept his end of the agreement. But later on, as the Muslims grew in number, it is said that some of them became very jealous of the Holy Prophet, some of these tribes. And therefore, they started now to act against the interests of the Muslims. You know, resultingly, the approach of the Quran also changed as well. So one, the first thing the Quran teaches us is not to generalize the people of the book. Amongst them are those who are good, and amongst them are those who are not so. The second thing the Quran calls us to do is to actually form an alliance with the people of the book, with those of them who are good. The Quran teaches us that you don't have to agree upon all of the beliefs to be able to work with another community. You can have differences and you can still work with them. Again, we come to Surah of Ali Imran. The verse of Mubahala is verse number 64 or 61 of Surah Ali Imran. That's the verse of Mubahala. And I'll give you some historical context right now. The verse that I want to talk about is verse number 64. So it comes three verses later. But before we get to verse 64, let's put a little bit of historical context to what I'm about to say. So the Prophet of Allah sent a letter to the people of Najran, and he invited them towards Islam. And he said, either you accept the religion of Islam, or be willing to pay the jizya, the tax, that the Ahlul Kitab pay in a Muslim state. In response, they sent a delegation. This delegation came to Medina, and they engaged in dialogue with the Holy Prophet. And after days of discussion, they were not willing to accept the message of the Prophet of Allah, the rationality and the logical argument that the Prophet was giving to them. So the Quran says, O people of the book, you know, or the Quran says to the Holy Prophet, فَإِنْ حَاجُّكَ if they continue to debate with you, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ after the knowledge has been given to them, فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ then say, come, let us do a mubahala. We all know what happened from that incident. They did not agree to do the mubahala, and they instead agreed to pay the jizya. Now here's where the question comes. You invited them, you had a debate and a discussion with them. They were not convinced. They agreed, then you said, let's do a mubahala. They realized that a mubahala would not be to their best interest. They agreed to pay the jizya. But now you have made them a part of your community. They're going to be living with you, right? They're going to be living in your state. Now, how are you going to interact with them? Are you going to just ignore them? Are you going to push them into a corner? Or are you going to collaborate? And are you going to work with them? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Ali Imran, three verses after the ayah of Mubahala, He says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ O Prophet of Allah, say to the people of the book, تَعَالَوْ come. إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ To a common word that is common between us and between you. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا That we don't worship anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we don't associate any partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we don't take each other to be lords in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this verse of the Quran, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi He makes an interesting comment. He tells us that the Quran is giving us a very constructive approach over here. The Quran is saying that if you're ever working with a community where they don't agree with all of your beliefs, all of your sacred beliefs, then at least form an alliance with them so that together you can propagate those beliefs that are common to both of you. Work together to propagate those values which are important to both of you. You don't have to agree on all of the beliefs to be able to work with them. Now, Allama Tabatabai, he takes this a little further. He says that if you look at this verse, the Quran is telling us that form an alliance with the people of the book to propagate those beliefs, even before values, to propagate those beliefs which are common to all of you. The belief that is common to all people of the book is the belief in God and the belief in one God, Tawheed. Then Allama Tabatabai, he says that not only the belief in Tawheed, but all the implications of Tawheed as well. Tawheed is not just a theory. Tawheed is a practice. Tawheed is a way of living life. Tawheed is a way of running the society. Tawheed is a way of structuring a community. Tawheed is a lifestyle by itself. Today, Tawheed has become a theory in our communities. It has no practicality in our communities. A Tawheedi community is very much different from a non-Tawheedi community. Then Allama Tabatabai says, well, if we're going to have a Tawheedi community, then this has three ethical and social implications. First ethical implication is that we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we submit to the truth. The second social implication is justice. And Allama Tabatabai defines justice as the right of every human being towards life and to enjoy life. And the third point that Allama Tabatabai mentions in his particular tafsir is to say freedom and liberty. Very interesting. Submission to God, spreading justice and the right towards freedom and liberty for every person in the community as long as what they want to do is that which is good and they have good intentions as well. So this is the approach of the Quran. One, do not generalize the people of the book. There may be those amongst them who are opposed to Muslims and may be oppressive towards Muslims. I'm surprised today that sometimes when we talk in the Muslim community, there is a very negative view of the Jewish community. The Quran has not asked us to have a negative view of the Jewish community. Even in the Jewish community, there are two groups of people. There are those who support Zionism, and there are those who don't support Zionism. There are those who support the rights of the Palestinian people, and there are those who don't support the rights of the Palestinian people or oppose the rights of the Palestinian people. As for those who support the rights of the Palestinian people, they are our allies. And as for those who don't support the rights of the Palestinian people or support opposing the Palestinian people, then we oppose them not because of their faith, but because of the stance that they have taken. So the Quran does not generalize people based on their faith, firstly. And secondly, the Quran says that you should form an alliance with the people of the book so that you may propagate those beliefs which are common to you, and so that you may propagate those morals and those values which are common to both of you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now we take these principles and we come to the seerah of the Holy Prophet. Because the Prophet of Allah applied these principles during his lifetime. And I want to look at four principles that the Prophet of Allah, or four practices the Prophet of Allah had in dealing with the people of the book. The first is communication and dialogue. The Prophet engaged in dialogue and discussion with them. And one of the important forms of dialogue that the Prophet had with the people of the book is to write letters. We know that during his lifetime, the Holy Prophet wrote at least four letters to the heads of state. Of them was Heraclius of the Byzantine Empire. Of them was Khosrow of the Sassanid Empire. Of them was Najashi of Ethiopia. And one more person who was the leader of Egypt. The letter that the Prophet used to send was a very interesting letter. The Prophet of Allah used to write, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from Muhammad the son of Abdullah, to, for example, Najashi, the head of Ethiopia. He would say that salam and peace be upon those who follow the truth. I invite you to follow Islam. And if you follow Islam, you will be at peace. And I tell you that if you were to accept Islam, then God will give you twice the reward. The first reward for you accepting Islam, and the second reward for all those who will accept Islam because you have accepted Islam. And if you do not accept Islam, then your followers, their sins will also be upon your shoulder as well. Then the Prophet of Allah quoted the verse of the Quran that we just recited. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, ta'alaw ila kalimatin sawa'im baynana wa baynakum. Let us join and be allies on those expressions and those principles which are common to both of us. Now, in this letter, the Prophet is doing two things, very important. The first thing that the Prophet of Allah is doing is the Prophet is saying that Islam is a religion of rationality. We're not going to be spreading Islam by the sword. We're going to be spreading Islam through dialogue and discussion. Right? The second thing that the Prophet is doing, you have to bear it in mind during that time, the political circumstances of that time, the Muslim community was still not a very strong community. It wasn't a civilization at that time. Yet the Prophet of Allah is writing a letter to the leader of the Roman Empire and to the ruler of the Persian Empire, very confident that the message that he has to spread is the message of God and it has supremacy over all other messages. The first thing the Prophet of Allah did was to engage in dialogue and discussion without compromising his beliefs. The second thing that the Prophet of Allah did was to make alliances with them, to engage in mutual cooperation. When the Prophet came to Medina, the first thing that he did was to make an agreement with the Jewish tribes of Medina. Today, we have got something called a constitution, a bill of rights, a charter of rights. Back then, they didn't used to have constitutions. So the way they would enshrine rights was by making pacts or having agreements. The Prophet of Allah, when he came to Medina, amongst the first things that he did was to make what is known as the Charter of Medina today. He signed agreements with people of the book and with the mushrikeen. And these agreements did two things. One, they established their rights to life and property and enjoying the amenities of life. Secondly, it also was a pact that we are going to be helping each other in propagating those values which are common to us. In the pact that he signed with some of the Jewish tribes, the pact says very clearly that if a Jewish person was to seek help from a Muslim, the Muslim will aid him. And if a Muslim was to seek help from a Jewish person, the Jewish person will aid him. And that the Muslims and the Jewish tribes are not going to aid each other's enemies. And not only that, but the Muslims and the Jews, after signing this particular pact, have become one community. And they are part of the same community. The Muslims have the right to practice their religion and the Jewish people have the right to practice their religion as well. This pact that the Prophet of Allah signed, it had implications on generations of Muslims who would come after him until today. I don't know if you're aware, but some of our maraji of taqleed and our mujtahideen in Iran and in Iraq have actually made agreements with the Roman Catholic Church at the Vatican. They have signed agreements on important and common issues like ending slavery, like ending slave trade in the world, and other issues which are important to both of us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The third thing that the Prophet of Allah did was to allow these Jewish tribes and the Ahlul Kitab to integrate into the community in Medina, and he also integrated into their communities as well. Now I want to read for you a quote from Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani. He's got a book called Tarikh-e Islam, The History of Islam. Now before I give you that quote, I just want to put a little bit of a historical context to it. So early on, when the Prophet comes to Medina, they sign a pact and a treaty with the Jewish tribes, and they support each other. But later, as the Muslim community grows in number, you find that the Muslims felt at that time that these other tribes were no longer supportive towards them. That sometimes that they were not supporting them against their common enemy, or sometimes they were even passing information to the enemies of the Muslims. So this, what I'm about to say, happens now in an atmosphere of mistrust and suspicion. Ayatollah Ja'far Subhani says, even during that time, the Prophet of Allah used to go and be a part of their social gatherings, be a part of their official gatherings, be a part of their programs, and sometimes some of their rituals as well. The Prophet of Allah would take loan from them. The Prophet of Allah would go and visit them when they are sick. The Prophet of Allah used to console them when they would have a loss. He would empathize with them and lead them during their moments of grief and sadness as well. And the Muslims following in the seerah of the Holy Prophet would also have the same interaction with the people of the book. Subhanallah. Right? So what do we see in the seerah of the Holy Prophet? We see in the seerah of the Holy Prophet that he believed in communication and dialogue with the people of the book. He signed agreements with them for coexistence and social harmony. Not only he signed agreements with them on coexistence and social harmony, but you also find that the Prophet of Allah advocated for their rights. He imposed their rights in his community. There's some very interesting examples of that. During one of the battles, there was a man who had a big herd of sheep, and he was taking care of that herd for a person from one of the Jewish tribes. So when he came near the Muslim community, he decided on that day that he was going to become a Muslim. So he came and joined the Muslim army. And along with him, he brought a huge herd of sheep. And at that time, most probably the Muslim army was very hungry. They needed food to be able to support themselves. So this man comes to the Holy Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I have become a Muslim. I have joined your army. And not only I have joined your army, but I've also brought this herd of sheep to come and be for the Muslim army. The Prophet of Allah must have asked him, who do they belong to? He said, I was taking care of them for somebody from another tribe, a Jewish tribe, for a Jewish person. Right? And now that I've become a Muslim, we can also take this with us as well. You know what the Prophet did? The Prophet told him, return it back to that person. You took it as an amanah from that person. A Muslim does not do khiyana, does not betray and amana, return it back to him. Subhanallah. Advocated for their rights. When he sent a governor to Yemen, or representative to Yemen, he said, go to Yemen, even though now you're going to be leading over them, invite the people of the book to Islam. If they accept Islam, accept them as Muslims. They have the same rights as other Muslims. They have the same responsibilities as other Muslims. And what if they don't accept Islam? Do they have the freedom to practice their religion? Do they have that sort of liberty? And the Prophet of Allah says, do not force them to become Muslims. And the last thing that the Prophet of Allah also did with them is that he integrated into their communities and allowed them to integrate into the Muslim community as well. This brings us now to the seerah of the Muslim community. the practice of the Muslim community after the passing away of the Holy Prophet. What the Prophet did during his lifetime left a lasting impact on generations of Muslims to come. How the Prophet dealt with the Ahlul Kitab is how the Muslims then dealt with the people of the book. Now, sometimes we have a selective reading of history. We only look at particular incidents, or we only look at a particular area of the world, or we only look at, for example, a particular era of time. So if we want to look at how Muslims and the Jewish people got on throughout history, we look at the 20th century and we say, well, Muslims and the Jewish people don't get along together. Whereas it turns out for 13 centuries, the greatest ally that the Jewish community had in the world was the Muslim community. Whether we're talking about Jerusalem or we're talking about Andalusia, southern Spain, or other parts of the Muslim world, the greatest supporter and ally that the Jewish community had at that time that supported them was the Muslim community. And I'll give you some examples of that, inshallah. But it's important for us to understand and to point out to others that we shouldn't have a selective reading of history. Okay? One example, and I want to end, inshallah, today's talk. This example comes from the time when the Muslims captured Jerusalem during the time of the second Caliph. So you know that during the lifetime of the Holy Prophet, the Prophet took an army of 30,000 towards Tabuk. They were expecting the Roman army to come over there, and they were going to engage in the first battle between the Muslims and the Roman Empire, or Byzantine, that it was known as at that time. And the army did not show up at the battlefield, and the Prophet of Allah came back to Medina. During the time of the first Caliph, he was involved in civil wars, and therefore there were no engagements or skirmishes between the Muslims and the Romans. During the time of the second Caliph, it would seem that now armies were sent, and they first went to Syria, and they freed Syria, or they took over Syria, and then after Syria, they came south, and they came south to Jerusalem at that time. And they encircled Jerusalem. And just for your information, the generals at that time were two people, Khalid bin Walid, notorious in history, and the second was Amr ibn al-As, another notorious person in history. Now, they had encircled Jerusalem, but the representative of the Roman Empire in Jerusalem did not want to hand over the keys to the gates of Jerusalem to the Muslims at that time. He said that I'm not going to hand over the keys to you until your Khalif comes and visits us. So it is said, historically speaking, that the second Khalif traveled all the way to Jerusalem to go and meet with the representative of the Roman Empire at that time. And that representative gave him a tour of the city. What is interesting here, very interesting, and somebody should point this out to the Wahhabi extremists and should point this out to ISIS as well, is to say that according to their own historical records, when the second Khalif had come into Jerusalem and they offered him during the time of prayer, in the middle of the day, during the Dhuhr prayer, to come and pray inside a church, he refused to do that. And he said that, I don't want to pray, according to their historical records, I don't want to pray in this church, lest in the future Muslims come and claim this church and turn this church into a mosque. I would like Christians to have their places of worship, and that should remain with them as well. Now, during that time, they also signed a treaty where they would be handing over Jerusalem to the Muslims. The treaty is an interesting one. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the most beneficent, the most merciful. This is an assurance of safety from the second Khalif that he has given to the people of Jerusalem. He has given them an assurance of safety for themselves, for their property, their churches, their crosses, the sick and healthy of the city, and for all the rituals which belong to their religion. Their churches will not be inhabited by Muslims and will not be destroyed. Neither they, nor the land on which they stand, nor their cross, nor their property will be damaged. They will not be forcibly converted. What's also interesting, according to some historical records, is that the representative of the Roman Empire in Jerusalem at that time said that, I will willingly give the keys of Jerusalem to you with one condition. it will surprise you and amaze you to hear this condition. He said, on the condition that you do not allow the Jewish people to enter Jerusalem. You do not allow them to trade in Jerusalem. You do not allow them to settle in Jerusalem. As long as you agree to this condition, we will willingly give the keys of Jerusalem to you. And at that time, the Muslim community rejected this condition. And they say this is against the seerah of the Holy Prophet and how the Prophet of Allah has taught us to deal with the people of the book. Now, I'm not trying to say that every dynasty that came, every Muslim ruler that came was kind and protected the rights of the Ahlul Kitab. In fact, we know that some of the rulers that came did not even protect the rights of Muslims and the rights of the Shia. But you find time and again, historically speaking, there were so many examples where they did protect the rights of the Ahlul Kitab, because that is the teaching that they got from the seerah of the Prophet of Allah, and that is the teaching that they got from the Quran. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day. O Allah, we pray to you to accept all of our good deeds and to forgive our sins. O Allah, we pray to you to answer all of our hajat. O Allah, we pray to you on this day for all those who are sick, those who are undergoing procedures, those who are undergoing therapy, those who are, you know, going through a course of medicine. O Allah, grant all of them a complete and a quick recovery. O Allah, of our marhumin, those who have passed away recently, especially those who died in the stampede in Hajj, those who were killed in the bombings in Yemen and other parts of the Muslim world, and those who are dying in the frontier as shuhada fighting against terrorism. O Allah, we pray to you to grant all of them your rahmah and your maghfirah. O Allah, we pray to you on this day as we celebrate the Eid of Mubahala. We humbly pray to you, Ya Allah, to hasten the reappearance of the 12th Imam. And O Allah, make us that community that will pave the way for the coming of the 12th Imam. رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة.
Assalamu alaikum. Khushali Mubarak to everybody. Mubahale ke hawale se chand ashar. Ghar se mubahale ke liye panjatan chale. Ghar se mubahale ke liye panjatan chale. Kuch phool the jo ban ke wakare chaman chale. Us kafle ki jeet par kyun na yakeen ho. اس قافلے کی جیت پر کیوں نہ یقین ہو جس قافلے کی پشت پہ خیبر شکن چلے. ایک درود پڑھیں بلند آواز سے.
آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. جب بچھا گھر میں فرش عزا, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. رشک جنت ہوا گھر میرا, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. زوم نکلے گا سچائیوں کا بھی, ہار مانے گی قوم نصارا بھی, ہر مانے گی قوم نصارا بھی, پل میں ہو جائے گا فیصلہ, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. کون سجدوں کی زینت بناتا تجھے, کون جنت کی جنت بناتا تجھے, کون جنت کی جنت بناتا تجھے. اے زمین کر ادا شکریہ, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. پہلے ہی اس کو جلدی شہادت کی تھی, آخری سانس اور تیز چلنے لگی, آخری سانس اور تیز چلنے لگی. جب یہ مقتل میں حر نے سنا, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. ایک درود پڑے بلند آواز سے. ایک الجھن تھی پہچانوں کیسے اسے, ایک الجھن تھی پہچانوں کیسے اسے, کس کو دیکھوں کہ خالق سمجھ آ سکے, کس کو دیکھوں کہ خالق سمجھ آ سکے. ہو گیا حل میرا مسئلہ, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. درود پڑھیں ایک بلند آواز. مثل نہج بلاغا جو نکتے سنے, لہجائے مرتضیٰ میں جو خطبے سنے, لہجائے مرتضیٰ میں جو خطبے سنے. بنت زہرا کو دینے دعا, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. ایک درود اور پڑھیں بلند آواز سے. اکبر و قاسم و زینب و باوفا, ساتھ سرور کے پہنچا جو یہ قافلہ, ساتھ سرور کے پہنچا جو یہ قافلہ. برملا کہہ اٹھی کربلا, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے, آ گئے پنجتن آ گئے. درود پڑھیں بلند آواز سے.
الٰہی بیمار داشت بلا, جو بیمار ہو جلد پاوے شفا. الٰہی برائے امام زمان, ہمیں ہول محشر سے دے تو ہما قیامت میں محشور ہو با علی اٹھے قبر سے کہہ کہ ہم یا علی اے پانچ وروں مل چہار دتن احمد و علی زہرا و حسن شبیر سے لے تو امام زمان شبیر سے لے تو امام زمان ایک ایک پہ صدا سلوات پڑھو سلوات سلوات و سلام یا امام زمان فرماؤ ظہور یا امام زمان صلوات
زیارت وارث
السلام علیک یا وارث آدم صفوة اللہ السلام علیک یا وارث نوح النبی اللہ السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام ولي الله السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وأتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأسلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من متلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن العمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وإعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والهجة لأهل الدنيا وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبيا بكم موقن بشرع ديني وخواتيم عملي وقلب لقلبكم سلم وأمر لأمركم متبع صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى جسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم
زيارة علي أكبر عليه السلام
السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن نبي الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا ابن الحسين الشهيد السلام عليك أيها الشهيد السلام عليك أيها المظلوم وابن المظلوم لعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به
زارت تمام شهداء كربلاء السلام عليكم يا أولياء الله وأحباءه، السلام عليكم يا أصفياء الله وأوداءه، السلام عليكم يا أنصار دين الله، السلام عليكم يا أنصار رسول الله، السلام عليكم يا أنصار أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليكم يا أنصار فاطمة سيدة النساء العالمين، السلام عليكم يا أنصار أبي محمد الحسن بن علي ولي زكي الناس، السلام عليكم يا أنصار أبي عبد الله، بأبي أنتم وأمي طبتم وطابت الأرض التي فيها دفنتم وفزت فوزا عظيما، فيا ليتني كنت معكم فأفوز معكم. زيارة أبو الفضل العباس عليه السلام. السلام عليك يا أبا الفضل العباس ابن أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليك يا ابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن أول القوم إسلامه وأقدمهم إيمانه وأقوم بدين الله وحوتهم على الإسلام. أشهد لك النساهد لله ولرسوله ولأخيك فنعم الأخ المواسي، فلعن الله أمة قتلتك، ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك، ولعن الله أمة استخلت منك المهاريم وانتهكت حرمة الإسلام، فنعم السابر المجاهد محامي الناصر والأخ الدافع عن أخيه المجيب إلى طاعة ربه الراغب فيما ظهد فيه غيره من الثواب الجزيل والثناء الجميل، والحقق الله بدرجة آبائك في جنات النعيم. السلام عليكم يا ساداتي ومواليا جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء، السلام عليك يا أنيس الفقراء، السلطان أبا الحسن علي بن موسى الرضا، كن شفيئنا وشفيع والدينا في يوم الجزاء ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا مولانا يا صاحب الأصل والزمان، سيدي الأمان الأمان الأمان. السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن، السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليك يا كعبة الإيمان، السلام عليك يا إمامي وإمام الإنس والجان، أجل الله فرجه وسهل الله مخرجه وزهورك. السلام عليكم يا ساداتي ومواليا جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Brothers, please be seated facing us. We have a few short announcements to make. I really thank you for your time. We won't take long. Thank you.
Sheikh Murtaza, my elders, brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. On Sunday, October 18th, we will be holding our annual Muharram procession or Jalus at 1 p.m. We are holding a Prep for Jalus event here at Az-Zahra this coming Saturday at 7 p.m. We are inviting everyone to gather here and create personal posters and signs that you can hold at the Jalus. Parents, bring your kids so they can show their love for the Imam. We will also be preparing our giveaway items and discussing ideas for banners. We will need all the hands we can get, so please come out and volunteer for Imam Hussein. The Jalus is a big event that needs financial support, so please donate whatever you can to this noble cause. On the men's side, we have Brother Muhammad Mehdi Kaku collecting donations, and on the ladies' side, we have myself and Sister Fatima Zahra Rashid. We will also be having our Muharram youth-led program on Friday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. in the gym. The theme for this year is Karbala, the Timeless Movement. The event will feature engaging talks by three different speakers, a special video, and the Arte Ashura. On Saturday, October 17th, we have a youth discussion with Sayyid Zafar Abbas and Zakira Askari Begum. The topic is the implications of politics in Karbala and beyond. The discussion will begin after dinner and is for ages 13 to 30. Islamic attire is mandatory. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
I'm not ready. I haven't got my iPad today, so.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum. Just a few announcements on behalf of the executive committee. Just a reminder that tomorrow the special general meeting will be held Friday, October 9th to discuss a very important topic for the future of the community. The executive committee is submitting a resolution to be decided by the Jamaat to purchase the property adjacent to us, to the north of us, 8320 number 5 road. The meeting will start at 7:30 p.m. I've been told we need a quorum of 50 people. So, inshallah, please make a point to be there on time so that the meeting can start and the everyone can have a chance to have their say. The second announcement is on behalf of the school, the Azahra Islamic Academy. On the blessed occasion of Eid-e-Mubahala, the Azahra Islamic Academy has their annual Hijri calendar for sale. Starting tonight, they'll be available outside on the men's and the ladies' side. This is the copy of the calendar you can see here. The theme this year is the Grand Islamic Scholars, Past and Present. Please support the school by purchasing this beautiful calendar for only $15. And finally, the final announcement, as I've mentioned in the past, the elections are right around the corner now. We're just a little over a week away from the actual date of the federal election. However, the advance polling starts this weekend, starting tomorrow actually. Tomorrow through Monday is the advance polling dates for those who would like to get out and vote. The Azahra community is partnering with the Canadian Muslim Vote Organization based out of Ontario. They're a non-partisan organization. You must have heard about them by now. If you haven't, we do have buttons, lots of these buttons. We've just passed them over to the sister side. Maybe I'll ask Sister Alia to make sure they get distributed. We'll be distributing these as well to and wear them proudly. The idea here is that the Muslims are engaged. The Muslims are going to go. You can go on their website and pledge to vote. And we really want to make an impact, because in the last federal election, only 40% is the estimate of Muslims participated. And that number is too low compared to other ethnic and religious groups. We want that number to be at least 60%, if not higher, for this coming election. Now, in order, part of our partnership in encouraging people to get out is we have organized bus transportation for this Sunday from Azahra Center for the residents of the Richmond riding.
Within Richmond, the one where you live in, Richmond Steveston East, as well as Richmond Central. We do need you, though, to sign up just so we can organize things and numbers. It's very easy to sign up. We'll have a laptop outside, at least tonight on the men's side, inshallah, tomorrow after Jummah also. But you can also sign up yourself by going on the website and just clicking on the link and filling in the information, and then we'll have all the details. Those of you who have madrasa students, we'll be dropping them off in the morning. We'll have some coffee and refreshments for you. And inshallah, we will start leaving for the polling stations by around 11:30 with an objective to be back in time to join the Zohar prayers by 1:30. So again, this is a good sign. We also actually have the CBC National News coming out to cover this event as part of the national news. They're doing a story on the Canadian Muslim Vote Organization, and we're a partner of theirs. So they want to cover this story in a big way. So we really encourage you to come out on Sunday, hopefully take a little time out of your day, and you then don't have to vote or worry about getting out to the election polls during the 12 days of Muharram, and you can show a sign of solidarity and an engagement by coming out, inshallah, and supporting the cause this Sunday at 10:30. If anyone has any questions, you may see me.
I'll just take just a couple of more minutes of your time. Just want to go through the Muharram program, starting from Wednesday. So we'll be starting the Muharram program Wednesday, 14th of October. Please note that Maghrib Isha Salat will be offered in congregation at 7 p.m. and not upon the exact times during the weekdays of Muharram. This decision was as per discussion and consultation with Sheikh Murtaza. Morning program, so now we'll begin at 7 p.m. with Maghrib Isha Salat and followed by the rest of the program, except on Saturday and Sunday, when the program will start at 6:30 p.m. and end with Niyaz. Day of Ashura falls on Saturday, 24th of October. We will be starting the program at 10 a.m. sharp with Amal of Ashura, and program at Forest Lawn Cemetery will start at 4 p.m. Shami Ghariba program on Saturday, 24th of October, will start at 6:16 p.m. here. Ziyarat Majlis the next day, Sunday, 25th, will start at 6:14 p.m. with Maghrib Isha Salat. Sayyid Zafar Abbas from the UK will be with us throughout the 12 days of Muharram. Sayyid is a well-known and a well-traveled alim. You can find a lot more about him on our website. So please do visit our website for the detailed program information. It is already on the recording and on the website too, and also on Keeping Connected. Thank you for your time. Please recite.
Yasin. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. Surah Yasin is recited for the Isale Sabah for the following Maroomins. Marhuma Sakina by Hassan Ali Pirbai. Maroom Hassan Ali Haji Pirbai. Marhuma Amina by Hassan Ali Pirbai. Marhum Ahmad Hassan Ali Pirbai. Marhum Mansoor Sharif and the family. Marhum Dost Mamat Molidina, Marhuma Rukia by Molidina, Marhum Ghulam Hussain Molidina, Marhuma Sugra by Molidina, Marhum Muhammad Taki Molidina, Marhum Hassan Akbar, Marhum Zahur Akbar, Marhum Sajjad Rehbar, Marhuma Tahid Fatima, Marhuma Nahid Fatima, Marhum Pyara Ali Rauji, Marhum Amina by Pyara Ali Rauji, Marhum Zahid Pyara Ali Rauji, Marhum Sultan Ali Dharamsi, Marhum Abdul Rasul Ahmad Jafar, Marhuma Nazneen Begum, Marhum Sayyid Mahmud Akbar, Marhum Salim Akbar, Marhuma Khatija Begum, Marhum Altaf Hussain Zaidi, Marhuma Dr. Shahida Jafri, all the Maroomins in the family of Musa Naqchi, Marhuma Leila by Ghulam Ali Jaisa, Marhum Abu Suleiman Kaku, Marhuma Khairunisa Muhammad Jafar, Marhum Wazir Hussain Jafri, Marhum Dr. S.M. Mustaba, Marhuma Alima Khatun, Marhuma Masuma by Jetha by Marhum Jafar Ali Wislam, Marhum Farhan Raza Wakil, Marhuma Norbanu by Allah Rakhya, Marhum Anwar Ali Ghulam Hussain Bimani, Marhum Hassan Ali Ramzan Ali Wali, and all the Maroomins, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم وهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون. قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين. قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم. قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون. فأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون. إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين. إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون. قيل ادخل الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون. بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون. يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون. ألم يروا كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون أنهم إليهم لا يرجعون. وإن كل لما جميع لدينا محضرون. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون. وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون. ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملت أيديهم أفلا يشكرون. سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون. وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون. والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم. والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالأرجون القديم. لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون. وآية لهم أنا حملنا ذريتهم في الفلك المشحون. وخلقنا لهم من مثله ما يركبون. وإن نشأ نغرقهم فلا شريك لهم ولا هم ينقذون. إلا رحمة منا ومتاعا إلى حين. وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون. وما تأتيهم من آية من آيات ربهم إلا كانوا عنها معرضين. وإذا قيل لهم أنفقوا مما رزقكم الله قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعما إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون فلا يستطيعون توصية ولا إلى أهلهم يرجعون ونفخ في الصور فإذا هم من الأجداث إلى ربهم ينسلون قالوا يا ويلنا من بعثنا من مرقدنا هذا ما وعد الرحمن وصدق المرسلون إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون فاليوم لا تظلم نفس شيئا ولا تجزون إلا ما كنتم تعملون إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد أضل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون ولو نشاء لطمسنا على أعينهم فاستبقوا الصراط فأنى يبصرون ولو نشاء لمسخناهم على مكانتهم فما استطاعوا مضيا ولا يرجعون ومن نعمره ننكسه في الخلق أفلا يعقلون وما علمناه الشعر وما ينبغي له إن هو إلا ذكر وقرآن مبين لينذر من كان حيا ويحك القول على الكافرين أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما فهم لها مالكون وذللناها لهم فمنها ركوبهم ومنها يأكلون ولهم فيها منافع ومشارب أفلا يشكرون واتخذوا من دون الله آلهة لعلهم ينصرون لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند مهزلون فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون أولم يرى الإنسان أنا خلقناه من نطفة فإذا هو خصيم مبين وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون وسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون سورة المبارك الفاتحة